John chapter 14. Here is the great promise, and let me read it. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." There where I am, ye may be also. I want to talk to you tonight about this place, the meeting place, this prepared place, this beautiful place, this wonderful place, this literal place, this place called heaven. The meeting of where I am. Now, that's a reunion. We talked about that a little bit, but have you ever thought about what it'll be like to be able to be in this city of God? Let me give you just a thumbnail sketch of this this city. In Revelation chapter 21, if you will turn there with me, in Revelation chapter 21, I want to give you this thumbnail sketch of this beautiful creation. In Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22, we see a new heaven and a new earth. Now, in this heaven and new earth, after the great white throne judgment, after the battle of Armageddon in chapter 19, and then in chapter 20, we see the millennial reign. At the end of the millennial reign, we see the great white throne judgment. And he that sat upon the throne, of course, was our Lord, the judge. And in chapter 21 and in verse 1, John said, "And I saw." Now, the book of the Revelation deals with the seer. John is a prophetic seer. And John now is showing what he saw. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, that is the outline to the book of the Revelation. He said, "I want you to write the things that thou hast seen." That's chapter 1. That's Christ in all of His glory. Then he said, "I want you to write the things which are." That's chapter 2 and 3. That's Christ in His government, in His grace. That's the church age. Then he said, "I want you to write the things which shall be after these things." That's Revelation 4 through 22. That's Christ and His government. Now, in chapter 4, verse 1, John said, "And after this I heard a voice as a trumpet talking with me. And John said, the voice said to me, after I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which shall be hereafter." John is called in the Spirit, and he saw the prophetic realm of what was happening on earth and what was happening in heaven. And he gives this view to us in prophecy of these chapters. Now, in chapter 21, John has seen the millennial reign. He's seen the tribulation period. He's seen the millennial reign. He's seen the resurrection. He's seen Christ coming riding upon the white horse as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And then in chapter 20, he sees the great white throne judgment. And then in chapter 21 and 22, he sees a new creation. Now, I want to talk to you just a minute about that. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." Would you underline that phrase, "passed away"? That does not mean they went out of existence. That simply means that they were renovated. They were renovated. Any taint of sin will be destroyed. And this old earth will be renovated. And God will have a new heaven and a new earth, in the sense that there is no trace of sin. "And there was no more sea." Now, I have my own opinion of what that means. That means that the sea, the oceans have dried up, and we've got a new world. Two-thirds of the world is ocean. Mountains, valleys, plains, beautiful, underneath this sea of salt out here. And we have a new heaven. The renovated, I personally feel that all of it was together at one time. You take your global map, and you can move Europe and the South America, move it all in together, and you can put it all right together as one mass. So now, I don't know how it happened, but there was water upon the face of the deep, and these continents were divided. But there will be no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city. Now, here's the city. John says, I saw that holy city. And New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Now, this is a city. Can you imagine? This is the city that we've been talking about. 1,600 or 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles this way, 1,500 miles that way, and 1,500 miles. A perfect cube, 1,500 miles. Over more than 6,000 miles around this cube, and that's just the bottom floor. Now, this is a beautiful city as a planet coming down, hovering over this earth. Now, John sees that happening. And that's what I meant this morning whenever I said that we would reign over the earth. This city will come down and hover the capital of God's metropolitan city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Notice, and it's a prepared city. Prepared. This is what he said in John chapter 14. But this is prepared as a bride. As a bride adorned for her husband. Now the Lord has been preparing and adorning this beautiful city, making this city foundations of beautiful. I went through all of the different precious stones and the glitter and the glory of all that beautiful city coming down from God out of heaven and over this earth. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. I want you to notice, first of all, the bright new world in verses 1 through 8. You notice there's a new creation in verse 1. Then in verse 2, there's a new capital. In verse 2, John saw this holy city, the New Jerusalem, the capital of this Jerusalem. And then there's a new community in verses 3 and 4. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, what is the tabernacle? The tabernacle is God's dwelling place. That's what he's talking about in Revelation, or in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. This is God's tabernacle, God's dwelling place, coming down to dwell with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall be with them and be their God. Now, that's what verses in John chapter 14, where it says, where I am, there will you be also. I go to prepare this place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Now, it's not so much the place that we're interested in, as it is the person that's in the place. Now, watch this. And he said, and I'll be their people. They shall be my people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You say, Brother Bell, are there tears in heaven? Certainly there are tears here in this heaven. Because they've just viewed the great white throne judgment. They've just seen the great white throne judgment take place. And they viewed that. You say, well, how do you know? Well, look what it says here. And we have seen all the tears, God wipe away tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Here it is, for the former things are wiped away. And that's why there be no more, God wipe away all tears, because these former things are wiped away. You see, the book of Romans is a book of much more. But the book of the Revelation is a book of no more. And there's no more, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are wiped away. And then notice, that is the new community. I cannot imagine a community of people like that. No death in it, no sorrow in it, no crying. No more pain. This is what we were talking about this morning. Now look at in verse 5 through 8, and we see a new constitution. I talked a little bit about government this morning. Our government is is basically a humanistic government. I know there's some foundational biblical principles, but our governments today in the world, the name of the game is politics. The name of the game is compromise in government. God's people can't compromise when it comes to biblical truth. So, but the name of the game, our government is corrupt. Our government is corrupted with, I owe you a favor, you owe me a favor. We give one another favors, you see, and if your party's in, but this government that we're talking about now will be a government that is ruled with a rod of iron and ruled by God sitting on the throne. And it says, here's the new constitution in verse 5 through 8. And he that sat on the throne, this is the one that was on the great white throne, he that sat was on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. This is the same one that created the heavens and the earth. This is God. Now, when you get to heaven, you're not going to see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You're not going to see three gods. You're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God the Father is a spirit, and you can't see a spirit. God the Holy Spirit is a spirit, and you can't see a spirit. But they're all three in one, and all you'll see in heaven, there is in heaven tonight a man, and that is the man Christ Jesus, and he's God. So you will see God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be the one that will be on the throne. And he said unto me, and by the way, the only reason you can see Christ is because he took over himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man, and he had a body, a resurrected, glorified body, a real, literal, tangible body, and that's why that body is in heaven today in the person with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we will see the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God, and you will not see three persons. You'll see all three in one. Now, I don't understand all that, but that's you'll not see three gods. And he sat on the throne, and here's the constitution that he gave in verses 5 through 8. Write thou those words that are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha, the Omega. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that cometh, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, the whoremonger, the sorcerers. By the way, I did something last night. This word sorcery made me think of it. Some little girl gave one of my little grandsons a gift. And it was a gift to, I forgot the name of the place where I went. It was a video. What is the name of that place? Oh, it was a Blockbuster. And I have never been to a Blockbuster. I didn't know what a Blockbuster was. I thought it was Agent R. Block, fixed your tax, income tax, really. That's what I thought it was. You'd get a family-type video. And he said to me, Pop, would you take me over there and let me, I got this gift certificate and I can get a free video and I can watch that video tonight. But get a free, and it's only for free videos. I said, sure. Tell me where it is. And I went over there and we looked all, when I went in, I was never so shocked in all my life. I saw a different world. I saw a culture that I've not ever seen before. I mean, I saw with the ears, rings in their ears. And rings in their tongue, rings in their chin. I seen them. It looked like. I thought. Man, I was afraid. I thought, man, I'm going to get knocked in the head. And here it. And now, I won't say hundreds, but I mean the place was like maggots. Going through all that stuff. I mean, just going through all of that. And I felt dirty. And I never saw such dirty filth. I don't think there's anything in that place. I said, I don't see anything in here. And he said, well, get into the family section, Pop. And it was drugs. It was rock music. It wasn't a thing in it. It was X-rated. It was R-rated. There wasn't a thing in it that was fit to even for to look at. And I felt dirty. But I found Huck Finn. Huck Finn, the book. And my boy said, well, I've read that. I've read Huck Finn. Said, I think it's in your class. Said, I've read Huck Finn. I said, well, hey, this looks pretty good, so I got it. But I said all that to say this, sorcerers. That word for sorcerer literally means users of drugs. Sorcerers, users of drugs, witchcraft, and rock music, and all this wild music goes together because the author of it is His Majesty the Devil. Now, moms and dads, you better be careful what your kids watch on TV. You better be careful what you get them. Because I'm going to tell you something. These kids are far. Hey, I'm not streetwise. I'm going to tell you. It's a different culture out there. A different world. And you better police it. You better know. If you want some good videos, you can get plenty of them right in here that teach you good Christian virtues and good Christian things. You can rent them or you can buy them in here. But anyhow, now what's that got to do with heaven? Well, thank God when I go to heaven, I won't have to put up that mess. That's what it's got. I felt dirty when I got out of that place. I really did. Now, you may go visit that every Saturday night, but I don't care. I'm still telling you, I felt dirty. And it's no place. You say, well, you can get some good things. Hey, I can get a good biscuit out of the garbage can, but I'm not going there to eat. Amen. What's that got to do with heaven? Well, I'm going to heaven. All right. But sorcerers and idolaters and liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, that is the constitution. So here is a brand new world. And then notice there is a brand new city. In Revelation 9 through Revelation 22:5, he describes this city that I'm talking about. And you'll see John's first impression in verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talking with me, and said, come hither, and I'll show thee the bride's wife. I want to show you the bride. And he carried me away in the spirit to the great and high mountain and showed me that great city. Now, who's in the city? The bride's wife. And who's coming down? The bride's wife in this beautiful city is coming down, that holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now, that's that beautiful picture of the bride coming down out of heaven in that beautiful city, and her train of all the glory will come and will come right over the earth and will hover right over the earth, and I believe we'll have access from Jerusalem on earth and Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem in heaven, the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit and showed me that beautiful city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. For having the glory of God in her light was like unto stones most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall high and 12 gates, at the gates 12 angels. Boy, you remember there was angels at the Garden of Eden. Why were they there? They were put there to keep man from coming in and eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they were put there because man would have snuck back in and eaten that if he could have. But anyhow, they were there to guard the angel. Now here they guard, angels stand guard. Angels are standing at the gates. At the gates, 12 angels. And the names thereof, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city was 12 foundations, and in them the names of all the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. And the length of it measures in the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. A perfect cube, 1,500 approximately miles, And he measured all the walls thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measures of man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall were of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like unto crystal glass. And then he gives you all the different beautiful pictures of the foundational stones. And John says in verse 22, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, are the temple of it, and the city had no need for the sun." Now, can you imagine this? Have you ever thought about, you can't look the sun, you'll go blind if you look into the sun. Your eyes cannot stand that glare. But here is one who made the sun, who spoke the world into existence, and his glory, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And here the nations now of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut by day, or shut at all by day, for there is no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall be no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the book, in the Lamb's book of life. Then he goes into Revelation chapter 22, and I'm not going into it. You can read it if you want to. But he goes on into chapter 22, and he talks about the streets and the city and the fruit trees and the manner of the fruit trees and the servants that serve him day and night throughout this throne, around his throne, in chapter 22 and so forth. But emphasizing again in verse 5 of chapter 22, "And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever with him." Now, I said all that to say this. What makes a home for you? What makes a home for me? Well, it's who's present there. If I go to, I could go to my home place, but it's not standing. But I'll never forget, before they tore down my home place, I went back to the home place and I walked through that home place. That was the coldest, the deadest, really kind of weird, walking into that home place. Oh, I had memories. But it was just an old house. Had no warmth to it. Had absolutely no life in it. It was just a house. You know, the thing that makes your house a home is the people that are present there. The thing that's going to make heaven home to me and you is who is present there. I don't know what that does to you, but that stirs my soul to know that there is going to be a perfect person. We're going to see our loved ones, yes. The meeting of our loved ones, the Bible says, and we which are alive remain shall be called together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be at the Lord. What a blessing to have their loved ones there. My mom, my precious old mom, will be there. My precious dad will be there. My loved ones that's gone on. Can you imagine seeing your loved ones again? My grandfather and grandmother. My daughter will be there. My precious daughter that died in the Lord will be there. All of my family saved, they'll all be there. What a wonderful, wonderful reunion. And then Lenore's mom and dad will be there. All of her loved ones that are saved by God's grace will be there. That's what it's going to be. That is going to be heaven. I never will forget. I remember we used to open those two back doors. And I had the ushers had a parking space right outside the back door, right in that glass door. And through this glass door, I can see right out on the parking lot. And they would take a little mic out, or PA system out, and put it in. And Mrs. Carrico, Brother Lee, Mrs. Carrico, where are Dyson, where are you? Wave at me. Yes. Okay, brother, Mrs. Dyson's mom and dad would come. She couldn't get out. She'd have seizures. Bless her heart. One of the most godly women I have ever met. She would sit in the front, sit in that car with her husband, and I would preach to them because she would have seizures and she couldn't get. Many times she couldn't get out, but they didn't want to miss church service. And hey, listen, folks, I'm going to see them again. I am going to see them again. And I'll never forget the last words that my dad said to me. Son, you take care of your mother. If anything happens to me, don't you worry about me. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'll see you in the morning, son. Well, he meant in the morning, but I didn't see him anymore. I will see him in the morning. And there'll be one eternal one. Folks, listen, that's a hope that I have. If your loved ones have died in the Lord, you're going to see them again. Don't let anybody steal that away from you. I am going to see my loved ones again. I'm going to have fellowship with them again. And I think my mom and dad will be around 33 and a half years of age. I believe they'll be. I have a very mature, wonderful body and life. And they. Hey, listen, folks, that's a reality. You will see your loved ones that's died in the Lord again. Now that will be home. That is a Father's house. That's wonderful. The redeemed of the Lord shall meet in that land. Loved ones who have gone on before us, waiting the precious arrival with this veil of tears and sorrows, and we shall meet them again. It's just a little while. It won't be long. Jesus said, a little while. I go and you can't come, but a little while you can come. Folks, it's just a little while. What in the world is 70 years? It doesn't look like too long now. Used to be like, looking this way, man, 70 years was forever. But now I'm looking back, almost 70. Hey, that's not long. 70 years goes by. Do you know something? My wife and I have been married 50 years this coming August. 50 years. I can't believe that. I cannot believe that we've been married 50 years. We got engaged. She was 17 and I was 18. But we'll be married 50 years. Just kids. I don't recommend that. Don't recommend it at all. But can you imagine being with your loved ones that you have loved and you'll spend eternity? Just a little while. It won't be long till we will see them again. And through this veil of sorrow, we shall meet again. What a wonder. Just a little while. What a reunion. What a meeting. It's just a little while. What joy. It waits us. It's just a little while. It won't be long until we shall see them. Heaven is a perfect place with perfect people. Then the heaven is a, there is a perfect person in heaven. Jesus said, where I am, there shall you be also. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 4. Look in Revelation 22 and verse 4. What did he say? He said, And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their forehead. And they shall see his face. You know something, folks? You can't look into the face of the Son, but you can look into the Lord Jesus' face when we see him, because we'll have a glorified body. When all of my labors and trials are o'er, and I'm safe on that beautiful shore, just to be with the one dear Lord I adore, that will be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me. Glory for me. When by His grace I shall look upon His face, that will be glory for me. I am going to... I've never seen Him. Been walking by. I've heard Him. He's spoken to my heart. And I've heard Him speak to me. I've seen Him in the Scripture, but I have never... And I don't have any idea what He'll look like. I don't believe that the artist's conception, they've missed it a mile. I really do. I don't know what the... I don't think the Lord is a white man. I don't think he's a black man. I think he's a brown man. I do. I don't know what his resurrected, glorified body would be like. I know it'll be real. I know it'll be recognizable. But our loved ones will have the same thing. So it's not the place, the walls of jasper, the beautiful city, The people are there. The peace on there, the joy. But it is the Master's face that makes heaven, heaven for me. I don't care if there's mud knee deep in glory. If the Lord Jesus is there, it's all the heaven that I want. He is heaven for me. So heaven is a person. The same Jesus. The same Jesus. Now listen, not a fictitious Jesus, not a makeover Jesus, but the same Jesus who was born of a virgin 2,000 years ago, who laid in a manger, that same Jesus will be in heaven a growing man. The one who healed the sick, raised the dead, the one who walked the shores of Galilee, the one who said to Peter and John, come and dine. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites the chosen people, come and dine. He will say, come on, come and dine with me, folk, and we will be able to dine with Him. The same Jesus who hung between two thieves. The same Jesus who shed His blood. The same Jesus who died and was buried and rose again the third day. The same Jesus who said to Thomas, reach hither your hands and touch me, Thomas. The same Jesus who said to His disciples who were brokenhearted, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I do, I will come again. This is the same Jesus. Behold Jesus. Look for Jesus. Jesus who knew all about heaven when He prayed, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Behold the Lord Jesus, who had heaven in mind when He prayed, O Father, Thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. John 17:24. I want to see Him. That's who I want to see.
Amen.
Now, turn with me to Revelation chapter 5, would you please? Turn back over here, and I want to show you something. The seer now, and in Revelation chapter 5, John said, and I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book, or a scroll, written within and on the backside, a seal with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven. Pretty good crowd of good men in heaven, but there's nobody in heaven. Nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book, either to look thereon. Now, what is this scroll? This seven-seal scroll is the title deed to the earth. And there's no man that is able. What has all the wars been fought for? To control the world. Hitler wanted to control the world. Mussolini wanted to, he said he was the Antichrist. Tojo, the Japanese general, the emperors, they wanted to control the world. World control. Alexander the Great sat down and wept because there's no more worlds to conquer. All the Caesars, what do they want to conquer? They want to conquer the world. They want to control and conquer the world. But I'm going to tell you something, and set up their own kingdom. And that's what the Antichrist will do. He'll want to do that. But no man, and John said, I wept, because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read in the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, or look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed. That word prevail is a legal term, and it means he's overcome and he's qualified to open that seal. To open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And John looked. Now John was expecting to see a lion. So John said, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the set of four beasts, the living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Notice, this is a resurrected lamb. But notice this lamb had been slain, literally cut in the throat for a sacrifice. That word slain means he had it, but he was standing. He had been slain, he had been used for a sacrifice, but now he was standing. He was resurrected. This lamb, John saw, is a picture of my blessed Lord, the Lamb of God. Having seven horns and seven eyes and seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth, and he came and took the book, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, get this. Get this. Can you imagine all of the heavenly hosts, multitudes that no man can number, if John saw when he got to heaven, and when he saw this throne, and upon the throne, there was no man that was able to come and take the book and to release the seals. John wept because there's no one could do it. No man qualified. And the elder said, "Don't you weep, John. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And all eyes now is center stage, and Jesus is center stage, and he walks out. The Lamb of God walks out, and he still has those ruby red wounds in his hand, in his side. And he walks out. And when he walks out, we might have asked him, "What is the basis for you? What do you claim? How can you claim the title deed to the planet called Earth?" And as he steps into the spotlight, John says, "I can't take my eyes off of him." By what basis, we might ask? Well, by what right can you open this book? And he could have said, "By the right of creation, I created this world. By the right of Calvary, I bought it back. And by the right of conquest, I conquer. I am the King of kings and the Lord of lords." So they began to sing. And verse 8, "And when he had taken the book, the four heavenly creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them a harp and a gold vial full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung." Can you imagine? They sung a new song. What they sing about? "Thou hast redeemed us." They sang about the blood. "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals." And they began to sing. And they sang. And they praised God from every blood, out of every tongue. "Thou hast redeemed us to God out of every out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth," or over the earth. "And I behold," and I heard a voice of the angels around about the throne. Now, it doesn't say the angels are singing. These angels are praising God an octave higher. All the redeemed from all the ages of all the nations, from every kindred and every tongue, are singing in the same language. No charismatics here, brother. They're singing in the same language and praising God that He is worthy. And the angels see this, and it says, "And the angels, I heard the voice of many angels," verse 11, "around about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying," these angels are saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature then which is in heaven." Now all the heavenly creatures, all the angels, all the redeemed begin to praise God. "Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I say, blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down, worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Can you visualize this great masses of humanity, the multitudes, and the triumphant anthems that swell and roll and thunder out to the farthest reaches of space, echoes into the everlasting hills of eternity. They reverberate and throb until the heaven is filled with His praises. And this heavenly crowd picks up the slogan and gets an octave higher and begin to pick up a slogan, "He is worthy." And all the angels begin to say, "He is worthy." Every living creature begins to praise Him and says, "He is worthy. He is worthy." And as they see the Lamb of God standing, He is worthy. And folk, I want to see Him When all that blood-washed multitude comes into the city of God, beautiful heavenly creatures, of what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon His face, the one that saved me by His marvelous grace. Multitudes are coming into the city. Beautiful heavenly creatures, beautiful seraphims and cherubims. In that resurrected, glorified body, we'll begin to praise Him. And we will all make our way down the streets to see Him standing in the midst of Hallelujah Avenue, sitting upon the throne, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And no wonder the redeemed will sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem, and crown Him Lord of all. He is worthy. That's what makes heaven real to me, is who's there. The presence of my blessed Lord that has warmed my soul so many times and made Himself so real so many times. At the darkest hour, in the midnight cry, the Lord Jesus has been there. Whenever a loved one slipped off into eternity, He was there. The Lord Jesus' grace was real. I've never seen Him, but I've seen His presence. And listen, folk, He will receive all the glory. So I'm saying, it'll be wonderful to see our loved ones and our friends and those that have gone on to be with the Lord. But the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, He is worthy. That's what heaven means to me. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on the King of grace. Not at the crown He giveth, but on His pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Christ and I in that bright glory. One deep joy shall share. Mine to be with Him forever. His that I am there. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.